Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Lots to digest from that Marco Belletti update right there. Not so much from Marco's standpoint. He's a pro. He always does a good job and delivers everything we need to know. But I did not expect on a, what is it, Tuesday morning, March 26th, the Jets would be making me roll my eyes. And the Giants are right there as well. Oh, good morning, by the way. Chris Lopresti, CeeLo here on the Fan, sitting in for Chris McMonagle. 202. Happy to have you aboard for the three-hour ride. Your warm-up show with Al and Jerry coming up at 5 at 877-337-6666. You heard from Marco. I got Fleegs on the other side of the glass. Just had a little pleasantries there with Al Cintron on his way out the door. Good job by him. Hopefully he has a safe trip home. But in any event, we will dive into the laughing stock that is the New York Jets a little bit later on. I'm sorry. Every time I've said this before, I'll say it again. Every single time Woody Johnson speaks into a recording microphone, it just makes you scratch your head. And then you got the head coach, you know, I guess, about whether he needs to make the playoffs or not to keep his job. I mean, come on, man. Come on. So I get it. Fine. These guys, they don't want to give honest answers to the media. What does it really mean anyway? That's fine. I'm looking at him on the TV right now with his beard and his shiny bald head, Rob Saleh, that is. So anyway, that's for another segment because we're going to kick it off. Look, I'm in for McMonagle. It would normally be Yankees hot stove, so I figure I might as well keep the ball rolling sitting in for C-Mac, who will be back with you later on tonight and tomorrow, all that good stuff. So he will, I'm sure, check in with you and give you all his good reasons for what's going on with the Yankees, so on and so forth. So I'm not here to spew Yankee propaganda or prop them up or be unrealistic, but I've got to be honest, because I did see this late on Monday as I was on my way in watching the Knicks blow out the Pistons, so we can talk about them a little bit later on if you'd like as well. But this was interesting to me, and I can't quite make sense of it. And I try to think rationally about things and, you know, put my objective down the middle, see both sides of things, cap on as often as I can. And these projections and analytics and statistics and simulations, I mean, what do they all really mean over the course of 162 games? Nothing. But what I'm referencing is this. So you've got the Pocota system that's got the Yankees at almost 93 wins, 92.7 to be exact. Baseball Reference has put out its projections for the upcoming season, which is upon us just a couple of days away. And they have the Yankees, I'm rounding here, at essentially 72-90 to finish dead last in the American League East. And they say with 90% confidence, they're predicting their best case record to be the same exact record they had a year ago, which was 82-80. And the worst case, 90% confidence, best case 82 wins, worst case, just imagine this for a second, 61-101. So I don't know what the hell is going on there, where they got those projections from, what they're using as their categories and their analysis for getting to that. I looked quickly about what goes into it. It was a whole bunch of words that I didn't quite understand. Playoff odds are based on 1,000 simulations on the rest of the season and the playoffs. The team's estimated quality is determined by their performance over their last 100 regular season games, which to me is odd because teams make changes during the offseason, right? Guys get healthy. There's free agency additions. There's trades, some coming, some going. So to make the projection based off of what we saw just at the end of last season is kind of silly to begin with. But let's take it from this standpoint, okay? What we know about the Yankees from last season, where almost everything went wrong, and it was one of the worst seasons they've had over the course of the last 25, 30 years. And they still managed to win 82 games, with Aaron Judge missing all that time in the second half, Anthony Rizzo ineffectively playing through a concussion or post-concussion syndrome for a while. You got very little out of Giancarlo Stanton, a down year from DJ LeMahieu, and if you look back, and people love, we get wrapped up on pitching. Pitching, pitching, man, we need pitching. The Yankees need another starter. The Mets need another starter. We got to get Jordan Montgomery. We got to do this. We got to do that. Okay, in a season last year, to me, did you watch the Texas Rangers go through the playoffs? I mean, banged up Max Scherzer, Montgomery that they grabbed off the scrap heap kind of at the trade deadline. I mean, the idea that you've got to have 3, 4, 5 dominant top-end starting pitchers, like those days, it just doesn't exist with the way the game works anymore. And here were the Yankees last year, in a year where a season where a lot went wrong and they still finished with a winning record. Yeah, Gerrit Cole was the Cy Young. We understand that. And he's going to be on the IL to start this season. Fine. Granted. The next guy that made the most amount of starts for the Yankees last year was Clark Schmidt. And those were the only two, Cole and Schmidt. They were both over 30 games started. Nobody even cleared 20 after that. Domingo Herman, next up at 19. Luis Severino, in his worst season as a professional, 18 starts. An ineffective and at times injured Carlos Rodon, 14. And then the likes of Johnny Brito, Michael King, Randy Vasquez. Nestor Cortez only made 12 and pitched to an ERA north of 5. And they still finished with a winning record without one of their best offensive players in the lineup for a good chunk of the second half and without one of their other top offensive players performing up to snuff and then missing the last, you know, whatever, 50, 60 games of the season at Anthony Rizzo. So you take all that into account that went wrong, still got to 82 wins. So now we fast forward to this year's team. And of course, there are questions and concerns, as there are every year, especially when you talk about an aging veteran roster in certain spots. There's always going to be those question marks around Aaron Judge, especially now that he even tells you himself with this toe injury, it's something he's going to have to manage for the remainder of his career. And oh, the abdominal issue pops up right away in spring training. Rizzo's got a lat issue. You never know with Stanton. LeMahieu starting the year on the IL. And I'll say this right now. This is not even something we can kill or criticize the Yankees for, because I would say 95 to 99% of us that have an interest in the Yankees, are fans of the Yankees, follow the Yankees, all believed the Yankees had to bring back and re-sign DJ LeMahieu. And we all can admit that that has backfired. The contract's a mess. He's a shell of himself. You know, we forget sometimes when we watch him on this Yankee team next to the likes of, you know, a Rizzo, a Judge, and a Stanton. DJ LeMahieu is a big man. 6'4", lanky, was never gifted with, you know, great speed or quickness. It was all about what he could do in the batter's box. Sort of an old school throwback player, hit for average, give you 15 to 20 homers, hit in the clutch, solid defender, you know, not a great range guy, but could play multiple positions and gave you that versatility and the value, right? Those days are gone. Anything the Yankees get out of DJ LeMahieu this year to me is a bonus. I'm already writing him off. Doesn't matter. It's over with. So I'm putting that aside. So whether it's Oswald Peraza when he gets healthy, whether it's Oswaldo Cabrera to begin the year, we understand that the options for filling out the infield right now in DJ's place, maybe not great, okay? But to begin the season, they are going to have Judge at whatever percentage he's at. Rizzo, up until the injury last year, the head injury, and I understand he's an older player too, and he's got back issues, fine. But last year, what undid him, we know, was the collision, trying to play through it, and basically, you know, being a shell of himself because he probably couldn't see or think straight. And the Yankees for months told us everything was fine. So barring something like that, you would expect production from him. Stanton had a pretty nice spring training. So until he goes down inevitably on the IL, I'm of the belief that if he's in the lineup, they'll get some sort of production out of him. And we haven't mentioned yet already the one big difference, key addition, offseason defining move that the Yankees did make. And we, of course, all know that that's Juan Soto. So whether Judge is in and out of the lineup, Rizzo's in and out of the lineup, Stanton's in and out of the lineup, Juan Soto, I don't think is the type of player that needs to be protected by others in the lineup. He is what he is. He's in the prime of his career. He's one of the best players in baseball. He has every reason and everything on the line for him to prove, every reason to be inspired, motivated to have a great season as he gets ready to hit free agency next offseason. Same can be said for Gleyber Torres. Not the same caliber of player, but the same concept.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I'm having a hard time understanding where a reputable outlook or output or source like Baseball Reference, which we all have used time and time again, would come up with such a projection. And it's not to say that they need to tell you that the Yankees are going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, or that they're going to win the division or win the World Series or go over their, you know, Vegas/sportsbook win projection. You can ask your questions. You can have your doubts. That's fine. But having a hard time understanding how you get to 72 wins with a worst case of, imagine, 61 and 101. Under what circumstance is that going to happen? Now that we know Gerrit Cole's not out for the, even if he was out for the year, by the way. I mean, we get wrapped up in pitching a lot for whatever reason. And that's the one thing to me over the course of the last, let's call it 10 years at this point, 10, 15 years. And we'll go 10. We'll go 10. The Yankees' shortcomings and where they've failed, quote unquote, failed, generally in the postseason, and I've made this point before as well, has everything to do with whether their offense can produce and or stay healthy come playoff time, and has very little to do with what happens on the mound. Since Matt Blake has come aboard as the pitching coach, they have figured out ways to get outs, get through games, both as out of the starting rotation, guys slotting into the rotation for injured starters, Domingo Germán having his issues and having to come out of the rotation multiple times, Nestor Cortes being banged up the last couple years, whether it was Rodon last year. I mean, it's not like they every season have, hey, we've got the same five or six guys taking the ball every 5 days and it's a dominant pitching staff and that's how we're getting by. So I have no reason to believe otherwise heading into this year. Even if Carlos Rodon has another disappointing season, even if Nestor Cortes misses more time and doesn't make north of 20 starts, the Yankees have a way of unearthing these pitchers, both out of the rotation and in the bullpen. So save for Aaron Judge missing almost all of the season, something happening to Juan Soto, Anthony Rizzo being a disaster, Giancarlo Stanton giving you nothing offensively. I mean, there's a lot that would have to happen, worst case scenario, for the Yankees to completely fall apart. Maybe I'm dead wrong on that. Maybe the time is coming. They're certainly due for a season like that. I mean, we thought that's what last year was, and we already just outlined all the things that did go wrong, and they still managed to find a way to finish above 500. Not that they need to be given a medal or a trophy or a pat on the back for that. And in many ways, they're sort of running it back with a lot of the same guys, but there have been changes and additions made. We talked about Soto. You got Verdugo in the mix. It's year two for Anthony Volpe, who seems to have gone to school on the things that limited him as a rookie and led to some of his struggles and shortcomings and struggles in the batting average department, swing and miss. I mean, we'll find that out in short order here in the regular season, but you certainly like what you saw in spring training. You like the talk about changing the swing angles, so on and so forth. So with the experience under his belt, and even with those struggles at the plate, not taking that into the field, winning a gold glove as a rookie at shortstop, have to believe that he's going to be on the rise here. I'm excited to see what Austin Wells can do in his first full season as a big leaguer, whether he's, you know, split in time with Jose Trevino or if he becomes more of the regular and Trevino the backup. You know, those things remain to be seen, but it's not a perfect, unflawed roster by any stretch of the imagination. But if I stack them up against the rest of the league and look what they can roll out there when they're at full strength, no reason for me to believe that it's going to be that kind of year. Now, to me, the regular season for the Yankees in recent memory has almost become irrelevant, because even when they do have injury issues or guys that are not living up to expectations individually, they have still found a way as a collective group to score enough runs, hit enough homers, beat up on enough bad teams to put themselves in a spot to get into the postseason. And once they're there, that's a whole different argument. That's a whole different animal. That's a conversation for us to have much, much further down the road. But as we get ready for the first of 162 here in the final week of March, having a hard time taking a cross section of this team right now and looking at the big picture and kind of scratching my head and saying, oh boy, I think the Yankees are in big trouble here. And I think it's going to be the worst season that we've seen from them since the early 90s. I don't see that coming. Maybe it will be, but there's no reason for me to believe that right now. And you can talk about, well, I'm concerned about pitching depth. Look at all that they traded away to San Diego to get Soto. And then you get a guy like Luis Gil who, oh, hi, by the way, remember me? I was Johnny Brito and Randy Vasquez before you even knew that they existed a couple years ago when I came up in 2022 and made six starts with a live arm and pitched to an ERA right around 3 before I had to go for Tommy John surgery. And look, I get it. It's a guy that hasn't pitched much over the course of the last couple years. Before he went down and went for the surgery in 2022, his numbers in a couple of starts, both in the minors and the one start with the Yankees that year, were awful. Last year, he came back from the Tommy John surgery late in the year, made just a couple of starts. I think it was at Single A Tampa. Numbers weren't great there, but almost 2 years removed now from an injury, and it's still a young pitcher, I think 25 years old. And if you remember him from a couple years ago, live arm, command and control issues, yes. But is that a guy that can step in and be a fifth starter the way Clark Schmidt was for the Yankees a year ago and be consistent enough and just good enough to give the Yankee offense a chance every time he takes the ball? Absolutely think he can be that. So when you talk about the back end of the rotation, whether it's a Clark Schmidt or a Luis Gil, and by the way, this is temporary until Gerrit Cole comes back. Now, if you want to say, hey, I have my doubts about Cole, this is ominous, it's an elbow, okay, fine, the ligament's okay, it's not torn, but I don't believe that he's going to be the same type of pitcher we saw a year ago. I mean, well, that remains to be seen. Right now, as far as we know, he's going to be back at some point. And once he is, if a guy like Luis Gil can step into the rotation and be serviceable the way Clark Schmidt was a year ago, maybe it allows a guy like Schmidt to move back into the bullpen. And maybe he can take on a role that Michael King filled for the Yankees the last couple years before he was traded to the Padres. So as far as filling out a rotation, guys taking the ball, these unheralded players that they seem to have step up and come in and fill these bullpen roles and manage to get outs, like, I have zero concerns about the Yankees being able to do that. The health stuff of their key players, I mean, you can say that for almost any team. And now I get it. With the Yankees, there's a track record with some of these guys in missing time. So that's fair. And that's different than saying a guy like for the Mets, like, oh, I'm worried that Francisco Lindor is going to get hurt and miss time this year. I'm worried Pete Alonso is going to get hurt and miss time. I mean, we could say that for anybody. Those guys have proven to be durable and guys that go and post, as they like to say, almost every single game. With the Yankees, it's different. LeMahieu, Stanton, Judge at the top of that list. Yeah, have a track record of missing time. But they've also missed time significantly over the course of the last couple of years. And up until last season, they still managed to get themselves into the postseason every single time. So to me, it's two different conversations. You can say, look, I don't think they have what it takes to go deep into the playoffs and win a World Series. That's fine. But the idea that they're going to be one of the worst teams in baseball, I mean, based on this projection here, I just don't see it. So they had them finishing dead last in the division. It would be the third worst record in the American League. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't understand it. And what's interesting to me, I mentioned those Pecota rankings as well. Had them at almost 93 wins. Baseball Reference at 72. If you split the difference between the two, where do you end up? Right where they were last year, 82 win team. So it becomes down to which side are you on? Are you on the optimistic upside projection? Are you on the pessimistic, the world is burning in Yankee land side of things, thinking that this is going to be one of their worst seasons in north of 30 years? I have my doubts, my questions, my frustrations with the Yankees, things that have made me kind of scratch my head or turn me off to them. Since 2017, when they first got back to the ALCS with this young up-and-coming roster, the Baby Bombers, as we called them at the time. And we've made this point before. They've never quite gotten back to that point. Yeah, they've gotten back to the ALCS, but each time it's been less and less games it took to eliminate them. So they've actually headed in the wrong direction. But the idea that they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league, don't see it. 877-337-6666. Not that we're going to ignore the Mets at all. We have things to discuss about them as well. Some interesting roster decisions that they made as they're getting ready to break. Not getting ready, actually. I did see they got off the bus at Citi Field earlier Monday. So they're back in town getting ready for their season opener. Some other things to touch on with the Yankees as well. Look, for the Knicks, a ho-hum victory Monday night. It's nice to see that they continue to take care of business and a record-setting night for Dante DiVincenzo. So all good with the Knicks right now in my eyes. And I know some people are a little down on what's going on with them because of the injury concerns, whether or not they're going to get OG Anunoby or Julius Randle back. But as currently constructed, I still believe that they can be a difference maker in the playoffs. We can dive into that. My Rangers as well. And as I touched on in the first couple of seconds of the show, listening to those Robert Saleh / Woody Johnson sound bites and quotes from the NFL league meetings or wherever the heck these guys are speaking. Some eyebrow-raising things to come out of that.